Welcome to I Am My Passion Project, a Woman House production. I'm Lorna Nickel. I'm an artist, writer, graphic designer, thinker, a Renaissance woman, if you will. This podcast is a feminist platform to discuss sexism, health, and wellness, redefining beauty, and healing from betrayal trauma. Each season has a theme. The theme for season two is women redesigning the world as a better and safer place for women. And here's the cool thing about the fight for gender equality. Men can help us with this. And when we all come up with solutions together, it makes a better world for everyone. So grab a big old mug of Fight the Patriarchy tea, settle into your woman house, and let's start reimagining a world where women are made visible and empowered to become their own passion projects. Today, I am in the studio with Dorina Nuray. She is a professional photographer whose lens captures more than just portraits. Dorina's work serves as a conduit for body acceptance while fostering the uniqueness of every individual. She is making the world a better place for women by burning the book on toxic beauty stereotypes and extending her art form to a broader mission aimed at catalyzing a global paradigm shift, a shift where each snapshot potentially reshapes her clients' mindsets, elevating their confidence and fostering self-love. This transformation seeks to reshape cultural perspectives, providing a profound respect for and recognition of women's invaluable contributions to the world. With neuroscience as a grounding methodology, Dorina also coaches other professional photographers on how to reveal the genuine essence of each woman they frame through their own lenses. Welcome to the podcast, Dorina.
Hi, nice to be here.
Before we got on, we were just complaining a little bit to each other about the nightmare that is Facebook and technology.
Oh my goodness. Don't get me started.
I know. Yeah. And technology in general. But we got Zoom working, and so we're good to go. I know Dorina through the Raise Your Voice Speakers Club, which is run by and founded by Brenda Bryan, who I interviewed for episode 6 of season 1 of this very podcast. During our meetings, I was struck by what seemed to me like an amazing offering she was making to the world, which was to make the world a better place for women through portrait photography. So we'll get to that. But first, can you give us some background on your journey to become a photographer?
Well, how much time do we have?
Not a lot.
It's kind of a long journey, but I'll try to hit the most important points. So I grew up in the Bay Area, and my parents are very cultured people, and I was taken to museums and galleries all the time, and we had National Geographic magazine in the house. And then as a teenager, I fell in love with Rolling Stone magazine and the incredible Annie Leibovitz, who was shooting groundbreaking covers for it every month. And so I was exposed to a lot of photography really young, and I just absolutely was always moved by it and always loved it as a medium. But I always thought those people, they were kind of like rock stars, like some other mythological type of human that does that and can do that. And, you know, I didn't know the path to making a living at that for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Fast forward many, many years after having spent a lifetime of documenting my life through photography as a personal hobby. You know, I did the darkroom thing and all that. But it wasn't until I was 40 when I was in a graphic design class, which is also a long story. I made a very good friend who sat next to me. And she kept seeing these photographs that I would bring in to class all the time. And she's like, Dorina, you're a really good designer, but you're really a photographer. Like, that's what you should be doing. And I was like, most people, like, who does that? How would I ever do that? I have no idea. So she said, well, I'm getting married in Tulum, and I'm going to fly you down and put you up, and you're going to take the photos of my wedding, and you'll have to figure it out. You'll see. So this was the first time I had ever created photographs for somebody.
Wow, what a great opportunity.
And she called me a couple of days after I delivered the photos. I mean, this wedding was spectacular too. It was like on the beach with these shaman who facilitated the wedding, and everybody was wearing white, and the moon was rising and the sun was setting at the same time. I mean, it was like, it was incredible. So anyway, I delivered the photos, and a couple of days later she calls me and she's like, Darina, everybody who sees these photos cries. And that's what really got me, that I could create something that moves people, that means something to people. It's kind of what I still secretly strive for, because it happens a lot. When people see themselves in a work of art or beautifully, you know, in a way that they normally would never see themselves, it's incredibly moving and cathartic and reassuring and nourishing and all of these things. And so I became very determined to find out, okay, so how can I do this for a living and be kind of like the Annie Leibovitz for regular people? I didn't want to be in a celebrity world. I didn't want to be doing magazines. I wanted to do this for people. I doggedly set out to find a mentor and a business coach, educator who could help me do it. And I did. I've been building this over the last 10, 12 years, and it's organically grown into more than just photographs.
Can you tell me, I mean, you mentioned Annie Leibovitz, but are there other photographers that really inspire you? And you also mentioned that you had a mentor. Could you talk about who that is? I mean, maybe you had more than one in your lifetime too.
Well, Annie Leibovitz is like the queen of all things photography. I mean, she...
Right. I think we can all agree to that.
Yeah, especially back in the day, what she's doing with Rolling Stone magazine, like that was new stuff, you know, these thematic and elemental, multi-textural, whatever you want to call it. But, and then when she moved to Vanity Fair magazine and she had bigger budgets, it just went off the charts, her creativity and what she could do. But, you know, there's people like Richard Avedon, who was in fashion from the 50s and 60s, who then did really stripped down, authentic portraiture of, you know, I don't know if you know his The American West series, where he just like photographed farmers and vagabonds and stuff, you know, with no fashion, no makeup, no hair, no nothing, just up against the back of a barn, you know, and they're staggering. And the gallery showings were like, the prints were like 6 feet tall and stuff. You could see like every pore and every micro expression. And they were just, He's just amazing. And then, you know, Mara Testino, a lot of the fashion people, Herb Ritz. And now I have so many photography friends and colleagues from around the world because of the internet and community, creating community on the webospheres. My dream photographer, when I get my photos done, is in Belgium. Her name is Wendy de Kramer. And then my mentor, Sue Bryce, is a staggering talent and soulful photographer. And, you know, now there's many, many more women in photography than it used to be. Like, it used to be male dominated. But back in the day, there was Diane Arbus, too. She was a great, great influence, too, because of that anti-fashion. So it's like, I loved all these fashion photographers. But then there was like Diane Arbus, who was bizarre and photographing weird people on the streets of New York and stuff. I say weird in a loving way, by the way. You know, unusual, not fashion-y people that created these really moving, thought-provoking portraits of people. It shook me to my core when I was a kid.
I remember in art history, the whole surrealist side of photography too, like Man Ray's work.
Yeah.
And also Cindy Sherman, who took it to a totally different theatrical level, turning herself into different characters and using makeup. And that was just so out of the box at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Looking at your website and talking to you, it seems like women tend to be more of your focus than men. Has that always been the case? And if so, why is that?
I don't know why really, except I guess I understand women better. Being a woman and knowing what we've grown up with and what we go through and what we think about and how we can undo things is a particularly female thing. Not to say men don't struggle with stuff. Men have body issues and whatever, but the treatment of men in the world is so different to the treatment of women in the world. When I started photographing people, it was mostly women because I was in Austin and there was a big rockabilly scene and I loved the whole pinup thing and because it was just so creative and out of your everyday. But then, you know, I've slowly come to this more authentic beauty, because the pinup world actually reconfirms toxic beauty standards. It's fun and beautiful for sure, but it's also part of the system that we're in of women have to be a certain way to be beautiful. And I've never bought into it, I don't think, very much. I mean, you know, comparison is natural to us. I think it's part of the way the brain works for safety. Like, we're always comparing to where am I comfortable, you know. But I think I photograph women because I want to break down the system we're in, that everybody is beautiful. I mean, the first thing most people say to me when they meet me is like, oh, well, I would never do that. I'm not photogenic. And I'm like, that's not a real thing. That's a construct of bullcrap. You know, everybody's photogenic, if you want to put it that way. It's because it's like, it's about seeing the light in your eyes, or who you are, or, you know, seeing yourself the way people who love you see you. Because when you're, and this gets into a whole bunch of the stuff about conscious and unconscious expression, because usually when a camera comes out, oh, okay, I have to, you know, and you straighten up and you put on your smile and you're like, okay, the camera's out, I have to, am I smiling? Okay, is my chin? Okay, it becomes fake because you're putting on a camera face. That's why my photo shoots last a couple hours, is because I want to get past that, which is like the first 10-20 minutes, and get to the you're forgetting about the camera and the real you comes out, where it's just your expressions and your light and your energy and the things that people see in you who love you. And that's something we rarely see unless it's in a really good photo.
So yeah, I mean, it seems like you're talking about authenticity and also about candid images. And also you're talking about, as the muse, being in a position where you are seen through somebody else's eyes, and the photographer is the other eyes who sees things in people that they don't normally see in themselves. Maybe they have a mole above their eyebrow or something, or they have some curly hair that's crazy, or they have, you know, a certain shapely body.
Yeah.
And you see the beauty in it, and you think your brain is working like, oh, if I take the light and do this with it, it'll show this in a really beautiful way. Or you can see something inside them when they're talking about a topic or something that you're like, oh, that's, you know, it seems like they're maybe a little sad about that. Or maybe like they feel really joyful when they talk about their children. How can I bring that out? You build a relationship in that couple of hours with your client where it seems like it's your job to sort of break down these different guards that they have up to really try and get to the person that they really are inside, and to be able to show that in a clear way.
Yeah. And it starts before the actual shoot. I give people homework. First of all, you're hearing all this stuff before you even book. When you book, then it's like, you know, I'm sending out guides on how to prepare and homework. And some of it is about what to wear and what to bring, and, you know, do some yoga or stretching, or because, you know, it's kind of strenuous. But then there's getting into this whole neuroscience aspect of what goes on in photo shoots. It's like, you know, some of the homework is preparing for that, you know, a gratitude practice, or writing down things you've accomplished in your life, starting to reinforce these positive things. It's the negative self-talk. I would love to eradicate it from the planet. It doesn't serve any purpose. It's not good for us. It's not any way to live. Everybody who comes in has put themselves down in some way. I try to just stop and ask, why? Why do you think you need to lose another 10 pounds? Why do you think your profile is so ugly? Because this is what people tell me all the time. Like, it makes me really sad, because I had some really amazing examples of women in my life. My father's side of the family are all in Yugoslavia, or former Yugoslavia, in Serbia. And these women, and I guess the culture in general, I never heard negative self-talk. And we would go to the lake or go to the beach, and people would be out in their bathing suits. I never, ever heard anybody like, oh, I don't know if I should wear this bathing suit because I have stretch marks. Because that's life. Your body is a document of living. And this patriarchal beauty standard crap that we live in tells us that the ideal beauty is a woman who has not lived life. Sorry, I'm ranting now, but...
No, that's good. I mean, because my next question was going to be about what pisses you off about societal expectations of how women should look.
Well, there you go. I'm already pissed off.
Do you see anything changing in that area? I'm guessing no. I can't see stuff changing really that much.
Well, it is changing. It is changing. I got onto this kick from another photographer. Her name is Terry Hofford. She's written a book about her journey, her body identity journey, and educating photographers and photographing people in ways to start undoing that, change the thinking on that. And she was very inspiring to me a couple of years ago. And she's not a waif, and she's a big, tall, powerful woman. And she's out there like, I can dance, I can move, I'm beautiful, you know? And it's such a narrow view of the world to think that women have to be a certain way. And it's just like, don't we want to break out of that and not have to think about it and just be free to be ourselves, whatever genetic. I mean, I'm an Eastern European big boned person myself. I mean, I'm relatively slender, and I'm definitely more slender than my aunties ever were at this age. But with aging and menopause and stuff, then you throw another wiggy wrench into things about things changing. But it's not any way to live to just constantly be struggling with how your body doesn't measure up to some made up ideal. And I want to do my part in undoing that.
Getting back to the transformation that women have when they actually go through the process and see themselves in a different light. Looking at your website and the photos that you have there of women, the ones that really struck me, and I was surprised because I'm usually not really one to be attracted to boudoir photos. And I think, oh, you know, you need to be loftier than that or something, like to be artful. But like looking at your boudoir photos, there's really something special about them. And it kind of makes me want to do something like that. So what do you think does make the boudoir photo such a special and unique way of bringing out the authenticity and the passion of women so they can see themselves and think, oh, I really am something special?
Well, my approach is different to what we traditionally think of as boudoir photos, which is about the male gaze.
Right.
I'm turning away from that. I'm all about, this is for you. You're exploring yourself, however you're feeling, your sensuality. It's on the erotometer. I'm like a 2 out of 10. Women's beauty in boudoir is what I think of what's in museums. When you see beautiful paintings of or sculptures of women and in art, it's not the heels kicking in the air with the lace and the pearl strands and your boobs sticking out, you know, because that's male gaze stuff. And mine is self-exploration stuff. And because the brain science is so cool, because it's like creating a safe space for that is not just about the absence of feeling scared or threat, but in being able to expand and explore yourself,
right,
too. You know, having room to roam and room to breathe and explore who you are. Because a lot of women who come in, you know, when I'm prepping them, it's like, think about what aspect of yourself are you trying to connect with? Who haven't you seen in a long time? Who haven't you? Because we're women. We have many lives in us, right? And many aspects to us. Who do you want to see when you look at your photos? And who do you want other people to see if they're looking at your photos? My little hashtag is the adventure is you. And that's what the photo shoot is about. It's about who you are, who you want to see, or who you want to be, or who you're trying to reconnect with within yourself.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going away from the male gaze.
I hadn't had professional photos taken since my wedding day. So anyone who's listened to my podcast probably listened to my betrayal story. So you know that I was cheated on by my husband, you know, after 21 years. So at 52, I was in a rough place and decided to, like, emotionally rough. decided to start my own business. And as part of that, I decided to have professional photos taken again, because I knew that I needed them for the podcast, and I was probably going to need them for other marketing materials too. And it was really such a cathartic experience for me to be in such a raw place in my life and give myself permission to do that exploration, to try and lift myself up in ways that I felt like I was just shattered.
Yeah.
You know, all of these other women seemed fine for him, but I just felt like nothing. And so I really used my photography session to empower myself in ways that I wasn't able to, like, outside of that. And so the photography session for me had to be a safe space. You know, you mentioned it as a safe space, and it's really up to the photographer to build that into the whole experience. I came out of that just feeling like, yeah, I'm a fucking badass. I'm freaking gorgeous. And you missed out, dude. Like, you missed out and you're missing out, and I'm amazing. And so, like, you know, some of those photos I really liked, and one of them is actually used for the podcast. And when I look at it, I remember the pain that I felt and the anger that I felt when I was doing that session, and also the empowerment that I felt, and that I kind of reclaimed my own sense of beauty.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is part of the neuroplasticity, creating those new pathways that your brain is, like, going into positive realms. The more you build on that, the more these pathways just become like these powerful rivers of positivity that, you know, every time you have another positive experience, you collect more and more, and it just builds on itself. And when you do see the photos again, like you said, and my clients find, it rebuilds and re-ups and replenishes all those, the positive aspects of that experience, and seeing themselves fabulous and spectacular.
You mentioned recently that you were planning on getting some portraits done of yourself. So do you have body issues, and what have you done to overcome them?
I was in September going to get some photos taken. It didn't happen. So I'm still preparing. My dream, like I said, my dream photographer is in Belgium. One of these days I'm going to get over there and have her photograph me, because I need the experience once in a while for myself too. You know, this is something people should periodically do.
Right.
I do and I don't have body issues. I mean, since menopause, everything's changing. My neck is drooping, you know, so I'm doing the work too on, like, well, you're 58. Come on. You're doing all right. I have people who love me and clients who think I'm pretty amazing. And I don't think my neck has much to do with it. You know, it's like I'm growing all these, like, skin tags and stuff. And it's weird. The change is really weird. The work on, you know, well, that's nature and that's what's happening. And as I grow older, it's like I'm really finding that as long as I'm strong and healthy and I eat right and I can still walk and be mentally all there, I'm great. You know?
Yeah. And I feel like expectations of beauty are different in the US than they are in Europe too. And I know you've done a lot of traveling in Europe. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more pressure in the US to fit into a particular physical stereotype, even as you age, or, you know, the becoming invisibleness of women is different than it is in Europe, where it seems like women are still respected and even asked out when they're in their 50s or 60s or whatever. They're just like, they're just women. They're just people.
Or even just simply listened to.
Yeah, listened to.
We're the ones who know all this shit.
Yep.
We are the ones with all the experience. We have so much knowledge, you know, and now it just pisses me off when, you know, these generational divide things that go on, people are just dismissing Gen Xers and dismissing boomers, and boomers are dismissing millennials, and, you know, how can a Gen Zer do this? But the fact is that for some reason young people think we're completely irrelevant and obsolete in the world because we're older. Well, some are, but a lot are not. If you're trying to navigate an issue in your life or a problem, we can help you. We've been through this shit 100 times. Don't dismiss us.
Also, the demographics are changing in the world. Like, the demographics are changing because a lot of the youngsters aren't actually having kids these days. And the older people are just getting older.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole dynamics of age range and what old is so different now from, you know, what it used to be in like the 50s or whatever, when people were just having heart attacks at 50 because they were, you know, eating so poorly or eating themselves to death.
That was like the TV dinner and smoke a cigarette era.
Right. Have a cocktail like, for lunch.
Like, that's not nutritious at all. You know, have 5 martinis at lunch and then smoke a pack of cigarettes. Like,
well, that was also the diet plan too, right?
Yeah.
Like, my mom was like a smoker. And part of that was, because that's how you stayed thin as a woman.
Oh, wow.
Got to keep up that smoking. And there were ads for that.
Oh, my. Keep slender. Well, I mean, isn't that the stereotypical like ballerina model is like coffee and cigarettes? I was thinking about this the other day. You know that movie, The Holiday?
No.
I love this movie. It's a rom-com. It's really charming and really smart. And Kate Winslet is in LA. She switched houses with Cameron Diaz, who's in, you know, so Kate Winslet's in England. She comes to LA. Cameron Diaz from LA goes to her little cottage in England. And they're, you know, they're there over the holidays. But Kate Winslet befriends this old Hollywood writer who lives down the street, Eli Wallach, who's really old, you know? He's probably like 90 at this point. And she's, you know, she's mending a broken heart. She's trying to kick this on and on again, off again, toxic relationship with this guy. But she becomes friends with this old guy who is adorable. And he's talking to her about all these women in movies from back in the day, like Barbara Stanwyck and Ida Lupino and all these women who, like, you know, like we think we've invented feminism. Like, these women in these old movies have gusto and gumption. He talks about having gumption, you know, and that she needs to be the star of her own life and she's the leading lady and she's not disposable or whatever. And through this exchange with an older generation and a different generation, which is good for your brain, by the way, she starts to develop that self-worth. Mm. And finally, you know, there's a scene in the movie, she's like arms raised, like, oh, I have gumption. And she's like finally done with this toxic bullshit. And so this is getting into a generational thing, but it's like, it just shows, you know, we all can learn from each other. And he learned a lot of things from her too. We can learn from our elders.
That is true. Can you talk to us about the Body and Soul campaign you started?
Yeah. For a couple of years, I had campaigns photographing women over 40 and telling their stories, which I still do. And these culminate in a gallery showing of photographs and telling people's stories and having a whole night of it and everybody being able to meet everybody. And the over 40 demographic is spectacular and amazing. And the way women give of themselves so fully into this concept and celebration that I thought, well, how can I be even more inclusive about this, you know? So through these years and working with these women and all these, the negative self-talk and overcoming it and expanding on the way I do things and the homework I give people and the inspiration of who I mentioned earlier, Terry Hofford, I started the Body and Soul campaign. So that's for anybody over 21 who has a story to tell or maybe has had a journey or, you know, is in the process of coming to terms with who they are and their identity through their bodies. And this can be anything. I mean, I've photographed women who, you know, are coming out of cancer treatment, who have no hair left or who've had mastectomies and are going flat. That's a big issue too, with regards to feminism and, you know, are you going to get reconstruction or not after breast cancer? One woman is a burn victim and has scarring all over her legs. So that's going to culminate in a gallery showing and gala of some sort, probably in March.
That's exciting.
So I'm still booking for that. Yeah, I'm still booking for that. And the over 40 as well. I make these magazines, you know, it has their photographs and stories in them. And it really does inspire other people too. And it really makes people think and get curious about their own stories and their own journeys. And it lights me up. It makes me really happy.
Yeah, that sounds like a great project.
Yeah.
I loved that when I saw it. What are 3 tips that you have for women who are trying to overcome body issues or personal trauma when they're planning to get their portraits taken?
One is get curious about your feelings. Ask yourself, why do I feel this way? You know, like I said earlier, it's like when you start to ask yourself why, you start to realize basically you've been brainwashed into thinking that there's something wrong with you when there's not. It comes down to thinking about why are these rules, so-called rules, in place? And you start seeing the system and the things imposed onto us through subliminal and overt messaging through our entire lives, like all of our cartoons and all of our movies and all, you know, slender, beautiful women are the ideal. And if you're not, then you're probably a villain or probably a witch or probably something horrible, you know. Try to start thinking about why this is and doing it within ourselves, because we're all on this planet. We're all born, we all live, and we all die. Why is there more value on some of us than others when it really doesn't make sense? So just start getting curious why you feel that way. And I touched upon the homework. It just seems like overdone and oversaid these days, but like a gratitude practice is really, really powerful. Touch the body parts that are bothering you. Touch your stomach, touch your thighs, touch yourself and love yourself. This body has carried you through a lot of stuff already. It doesn't judge you or condemn you or think you're not good enough. It's just carrying you through your life. And then, so that's two. I don't know if I have a third one. Those are big already. It's like,
yeah, that's a good one. You know, you talked about like the habit of talking to yourself positively. I read recently that simple habits can take only 2 weeks to change. 2 weeks. Start talking positively to your legs, your thighs. Thighs, you are beautiful. I do that when I run. Sometimes I come back and I talk to my legs like they're another person. I say, good job, legs. You did an excellent job today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally awesome. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
What is next on your list of things to tackle for your mission? I know you have a mission.
Yeah. Well, I want to do more speaking engagements and educate other photographers. Since I've developed a system and I have email sequences and homework and preparation guides and a whole philosophy behind this form of portraiture and boudoir, to educate, let's have all the photographers be doing this and dial into the positive changes that can happen with our clients, because the science is there. That it's real, you know, when people are involved in a creative venture or partnering with people or extending trust in someone else. A photo shoot encompasses all these things that are just can really light you up. So let's not just sit people down and take a photo. Let's have it be an actual experience, transformative and cathartic for people. Most photographers will tell you that there is always some kind of cathartic thing that happens with people when they see a really, really good photograph of themselves. Let's dial it into it more and shatter the patriarchal beauty standards. Everybody's beautiful and worthy.
That's a good note to end on. Everyone is beautiful and worthy. So where can our listeners find you?
I'm on all the things. Darina Photo is my website. So darinaphoto.com, which is easier than my full name. So on social media, on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and I think I just started a TikTok account. I don't know if it's taken, but it's Darina Naray Portrait. On everything else, you'll find me. Usually as you type in Darina and then Naray, I'll come up because there's not very many of us, probably none.
And it's Naray, N-E-Y-R-E-T. Lovely. So I know that everyone's going to be looking you up and trying to find out more about you and your body and soul campaign. So thank you so much for being on I Am My Passion Project.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see you at the next Speakers Club.
Yes, I'll see you in a couple of days.
Thank you for listening to this episode of I Am My Passion Project. Regular episodes drop every Thursday, like biscuits, with bonus episodes sprinkled into the week. If you've enjoyed this content, please consider sharing it with friends or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, I invite you to use Woman House as your muse to help redesign our world as a better and safer place for women.
I am my passion project.